may not have escaped your notice that this month has been Dementia Awareness Month, and already been told off this morning because you don't suffer from dementia, you live with it. So I sit here chastised. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, John.
Right, let's have a look at what is dementia.
It's caused by diseases of the brain. And there are actually over 100 different types of dementia, each one having slightly different symptoms and slightly different trajectory. So prognosis might be long or shorter, depending on the type of dementia. People can get mixed dementias. They get more than one. It is progressive, but for some people that progression can be many years.
Mm. My mum had vascular dementia after having several strokes. My mother-in-law had Alzheimer's. And you're quite right when you're saying it's living with it. Not only do they have to live with it, but the family around and friends have to live with it as well. Now, my mum got to the stage where she thought I was her husband, and my son was her son, you know, me. And we discovered that where she was staying, she thought was a hotel and was going home. I said to her, "Where's home?" And she said, "Estridge Way." And I thought, ah, now I know where you are, because she left Estridge Way in 1950 to get married.
And that's not uncommon.
No.
That's quite that's a story we hear over and over again. And you're right in what you say about the carers. I sometimes think that the burden is greater for them than for the person who has the condition. And I run a caregiver support group once a month in Tunbridge. And there's one lovely lady who refers to it as her bitching hour because it's her opportunity to just vent. And sometimes that's just what they need. But it breaks my heart sometimes when I listen to how difficult their lives are.
You see signs around in shops and on council, things about dementia-friendly towns, villages, communities. This has certainly taken off in the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, but it began way back when David Cameron was Prime Minister, and he set up what he called the Prime Minister's 2020 Challenge. And the plan was that by 2020, we would have a nation that was dementia-aware, with dementia-friendly communities and businesses and residents. And to a large extent, we've done pretty well. There's over, I think there's something like 3 million people who are dementia-aware who've attended the training courses that we deliver. But it's more than just having an understanding and an awareness. Within a community, it's bringing everybody together. So clubs, sports groups, shops, businesses, people who are living with dementia still want to access all those things, but they want to be dealing with people who actually understand their condition and are sympathetic to it and helpful. So, for example, if somebody in a queue in a shop and they're sort of struggling to sort out their PIN number or their money, if there are still any shops that take proper money. It's about the shop assistant being patient with them and other shoppers being patient with them. That's being dementia friendly.
Yeah. I know you've been into some schools.
I have.
To make people aware of the consequences of living with dementia for everybody. Mm. How's that been received?
Brilliantly. So a few years ago, I delivered a training session to the whole of the, I want to say St Stephen's School, I think it was St Stephen's School, in the south end of Tunbridge, and they were just delightful, lovely. I've done a couple of sessions with the boys at Tunbridge School. I've also done scouts and guides and cubs. And it's really, really important that youngsters, children and teenagers have an understanding, because they may have grandparents or great-grandparents who are living with the condition. So it's really important that they have an understanding. It can be quite disturbing for a young child if granny or granddad starts to behave oddly or doesn't remember their name. So if they understand why, they're more likely to be able to cope with it. And on the whole, I've found the children that I've talked to have been totally engaged and very interested.
That's good. Does dementia have an age limit? Is there a certain age where it's going to start?
No. It's it tends to be more common in older people, but it can start as early as your 30s. Seems to be a greater number now of people with what's called young onset dementia, so those that are being diagnosed in their 50s and 60s. And that's really, really sad. One of the groups that I support through the Tunbridge Dementia Friendly Community, there was a young man who attended this group who had quite advanced dementia, and he was the same age as my son. And that was I found that personally quite disturbing.
Mm. Well, I'm going to come back to the role of the dementia-friendly communities and the groups that are available in the area. After we've had a break, we've got going back to the 1970s on that one. I remember when it first came out and seeing him on Top of the Pops. Now, we're talking about dementia-friendly communities with Chris Parker here, and she's chair of the Tunbridge Wells Borough Council branch and the Tunbridge Morning branch of dementia-friendly communities. And what does that entail? What's being encouraged in these boroughs?
Okay, well, it's changed over time. When I first set up the Tunbridge dementia-friendly community way back, about 10 years ago, I think, and back then it was just about raising awareness, encouraging businesses and other organisations to be dementia aware, delivering the training sessions. But then, just I think it was 2019, the Alzheimer's Society, who were running cafes and carer support groups and all sorts of other things around the area, took the decision that they would pull back from frontline support, that their support going forward would be just signposting people to various organisations and different sorts of support, but they would stop running the cafes and the support groups, which was very sad. When I spoke to somebody at the Alzheimer's Society about that and said, you know, I was very disturbed. I'd been volunteering at one of the cafes, and I said I was very disturbed by this because, you know, all these people were going to be just left high and dry. What was going to happen to them? And the answer I got was, well, we're kind of hoping that the dementia-friendly communities will step into that space. The problem was that we were stepping into a space, but we had no funding, absolutely nothing at all. So I suggested that maybe Alzheimer's Society would be funding it, and I was told, definitely not, you'll have to do your own fundraising.
I think that's because they were strapped for cash after COVID and everything.
Oh, that's right. I think, yeah, I mean, it was a very difficult time because COVID came along, and of course that changed so much. So when we came out of COVID, it was really important that we started to put together some sort of on-the-ground support for folks. So we set up cafes and carer support groups. And we have tremendous help from other organisations. It's not just us that's doing it. There are other organisations who are providing dementia support. So, for example, The Lions Club in Tunbridge, somebody from the Lions Club, a guy called Richard, contacted me one day out of the blue and said he'd been given my name and was I interested in having a dementia choir. Well, I nearly snatched his hand off because it's brilliant. He has they meet twice a month, and I think they've got about 50 people who go, and it's brilliant. You know, they They've done performances at various places. They're performing on the 16th of June at Tunbridge Cottage Hospital at the garden party. So if anybody's around and wants to go up and listen to them, they're fabulous.
These are people who've got dementia.
And they're carers.
And they're carers. And the music and the songs is bringing them together, because we do know that music plays an important part.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And every time I listen to them, I cry. In particular, because there's one man who is absolutely lovely, but he's almost non-verbal until he sings, and then he sings every word.
Oh, that's great.
It gets me every time.
Yeah. So tell me about the cafes. How many are there in the two boroughs?
Okay, well, there's two that I run in Tunbridge. One that is run at St John's Church in Hildenborough by the absolutely amazing Julie Rhodes. And a lovely lady called Sarah Shepherd runs one for us in Tunbridge Wells. So we've got four cafes. But there are also cafes in other places, in villages and over at Westmorling in Spadework. They're doing some fantastic stuff there, so there's cafes there. There's a cafe in Eastmorling. There's one in East Peckham. So there's cafes all around the place. And that actually was part of the problem, that there were lots of organisations providing different things, support, but nobody knew about it. So I saw very much my role leading the two dementia-friendly communities as being one of ensuring that people had the information that they needed, because they're certainly not getting it from their doctors. So I send out a newsletter once a month, and that's going to be my afternoon job today. And each month I send out a list of what's happening and where on what day. And if you go down the list, there are some days across the two boroughs when there's probably 10 or 11 different things going on. So people have lots and lots of choice of what they do and where they go. And it's not just cafes, it's music groups, it's moving to music, it's bowling, it's indoor sporting activities. It's pretty much anything, everything, loads of stuff.
I seem to recall that one stage you're trying to set up something with, was it Portwood, the golf course?
Yeah, that didn't quite work out, and it wasn't for the want of trying, because I had two gentlemen that come to the Bowls Cafe, and they were desperate to get back to playing golf, and we actually found. We found volunteers across the two boroughs. We've got businesses that support us, not just financially, but in practical ways as well. So Mears is a company on the industrial estate in Tunbridge, and they actually send us two volunteers every month to help at one of the cafes. And Thompson's Nun on Passmore in Tunbridge Wells send volunteers to the Tunbridge Wells Cafe. But Mears actually identified members of staff who were willing to take these two guys out and play nine holes with them. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, because one of them, he deteriorated to the point that he actually couldn't do it, and the other one had a problem with his foot and couldn't walk, so it never happened. But it's still very much on my radar. Okay. To get some golf going.
Well, we're going to talk about how people can support when we come back after the break. And Dua Lipa and Illusion. Welcome back. With me is Chris Barker. We're talking about dementia-friendly communities. I'll get my teeth in a minute. We touched on businesses being able to help by sending volunteers and also making contributions financially. So we talked about Mears and we talked about Thomas and Anna Passmore. Is there room for more people, business to get involved?
Yes, and we have lots of local businesses who are dementia friendly, in that their staff are all dementia aware and they've done the training. Cooper Burnett in Tunbridge Wells was the first business to be dementia friendly. Across Tunbridge, we've got hairdressers, we've got cafes, we've got the bowls club, we've got an undertaker, we've got sort of several businesses, all different. But you know, it's good for everybody to have an understanding of what what the challenges are for these folk, not just for the person living with it, but for the person who's looking after them as well.
Yeah.
So any business, there's one just here, just along the road from you. I was there last year delivering training to their staff. So any business that would feel that this is important to them, they can contact me and we'll organise some training for their staff.
How long is the training?
Takes about an hour. It depends on the size of the group.
Yeah.
For example, next month I'm delivering training to the High Kent support group. There's the hard of hearing group.
Yeah.
And there's only going to be about five or six of them. But I'm doing a U3A group in August, and I'm told to expect 100 there. So any size.
Which is good, because it's growing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the more that we're aware of things, the better it is for everybody.
I think awareness, the strength in knowledge, and if we understand things, it's much less frightening.
Yeah. Right, how do people contact you?
We have a website, which is tunbridgedfc.org, or by email, dementiafriendlytunbridge@gmail.com.
Right, we'll put those on our website a bit later on. So if you've missed any of this conversation, it will be on our website later, probably first thing tomorrow morning, and you can hear what Chris has had to say, and perhaps it's prompted something in your minds to say, well, yeah, I remember old Auntie Jess, she was a bit loopy. Now we're understanding it a bit better, and you've got experience that you can bring into the situation and give a couple of hours a week helping with a cafe or other things.
There's lots of things that people can do to help. If you know somebody is taking care of a spouse or a parent with dementia, give them a break. Mm. Offer to go and sit with that person for a couple of hours, or take them out for a ride in the car, or do something just to give that carer some precious, precious time.
Right. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes, just to round off, because we can do some comparisons, which we did yesterday. So I'm not... You're looking puzzled. You're not going to... Don't worry about it. But, you know, what care should the government be providing? What resources? A bar song tipsy. Yeah, it's a bit early in the day for that for me. About 10 minutes. Anyway, you're listening to West Kent Today on West Kent Radio. With me is Chris Park. We've been talking about dementia-friendly communities. And we'll have details on how to contact Chris a bit later on and see what's going on. If you're a business and you want to get involved with volunteers or make a financial contribution, you know, I think, was it last year we took a trip out to the Kent and East Sussex Railway? Was that the year before?
What's the railway that goes from Tenterden?
That's Kent and East Sussex, yeah.
Yeah, that was funded by the Lions Club. And it was a fantastic day. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So this year we're going... in a fortnight's time, we're taking a coach down to Hastings for the afternoon. And it is just an afternoon, because whole long days are too much.
Yeah.
and at the end of August, we're taking a trip on the Spar Valley Railway from Tunbridge Wells to Erridge with fish and chip lunch.
Oh, that's nice.
And that is thanks to a very generous grant that we got from Kent Community Foundation.
So let's talk about government funding, or lack of it.
Ooh.
This is your chance to...
Ooh, yes, it's my soapbox. People with dementia and their carers have been badly let down, not just by this government, by every government of every colour and every shade, forever. They're just... They get this diagnosis and then they're just cast adrift. It is getting better, slightly. We've now got dementia coordinators that work out of GP practices. And that's something that we didn't have before. And they're supplied by Kent County Council, or they're contracted by Kent County Council. And the company around here that deliver that support is a company called ADSS, that's Alzheimer's and Dementia Support Services, and they are a simply amazing company. The people that work for them are tremendous. And if I ever have a concern about somebody, I can refer them to ADSS, and literally within 24 hours, they will get a phone call or a visit from one of their team. But it's still not enough. It's not nearly enough. I have a lovely couple who I support. They're very elderly. She's his main carer. And she's exhausted, totally exhausted. To get one day, it's laughable. Okay, so you can get daycare. You can go to a daycare. HUK run a daycare centre, but it's not really a day. It starts at 10, finishes at 3, so it's not a day in anybody's stretch of anybody's imagination. But you have to pay for that, and that costs her slightly more than her weekly attendance allowance. You can't get carer's account allowance once you've retired. As the vast majority of carers are over retirement age, they don't get that benefit. And then you hear that the government's decided that they can afford 15 hours free childcare a week. Why can't they provide 15 hours free elder care a week and give some of these carers who are saving the country millions every year, just give them some support, some respite?
Surely politically that these carers are voters.
So they are voters, but the truth is, I don't think it matters what government's in power. Mm-hmm. It will make no difference because, you know, 14 years ago we had a government with a different colour. It was no better then. Right. Maybe if we have a new government with a different colour again, it will change. Frankly, I'm not holding my breath.
Right. So we're not dismissing childcare, 15-hour childcare, but we do know the fact there is a shortage of those who are qualified to give childcare. So the government is promised all this money, but it's not all going to be spent, is it?
No, oh, then they can divert it to elder care.
Hopefully, yes. Anyway, thank you very much, Chris. The details will be on our website a bit later on. We're going to go up to the...